Thank you so much for coming along this morning. And it's not the best of mornings to be coming along the M4, was it?
Drizzly.
Yes, that could be the right expression. Drizzly.
Traffic was okay though.
Well, that's a good start. So, Geraint, we're going to talk about the book Bidge and Bodge in a moment, but let's set the scene for our lovely listeners. Please tell us a little bit about your good self. About why it was you thought you wanted to put pen to paper or get the old laptop working, whatever it may be. So, in a couple of minutes, tell us the whole story we need to know about Geraint.
Well, I'm originally from Kemphigel. I now live in Porthcawl.
Yep.
My daughter's now grown up. My daughter Angharad, she's 20. She's coming up to 22.
Right. So she clearly, while she may be very proud of her dad writing Bidge and Bodge, not particularly the age group you're looking for.
No, she isn't. However, and I'll just add this little bit. I did promise a little girl about 15 years ago that I would never ever publish this book and never tell anybody else these stories.
All right.
But she's changed her mind since.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's okay. That's all right.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Porthcawl, seaside town extraordinaire, and we've been having a chat whilst the music's been playing about my memories of Porthcawl, and my dear old late dad, Stan Stennett, was sort of synonymous with Porthcawl for 20 years and more at the Pavilion in Porthcawl and also on Treco Bay with the cinemas and the theatre we used to run there. But you were saying, in your view now, Porthcawl's changed a little bit over the years.
Oh, it's changed massively, yeah. Mm-hmm. Although, as I was saying, it's been very busy lately, incredibly busy.
Yeah,
so,
yes.
I think that the lockdowns have changed that.
Yes,
it's
I suppose. But it is a different town. Clearly, the old days of seaside towns up and down the length and breadth of the country have changed. It's not so much all about the kiss me quick hats now, is it? And the fish and chips.
Not so much.
But and I mean, of course, so many people say about Porthcawl, it's such a lovely place to be out of season.
It is. I love it. I love it in the gales, to be honest.
Yeah. That warm days like this, and where the wind is howling and the water is throwing itself up over the top of the prom.
Yeah.
Can't fault it. So, what do you actually do for work at the moment, or indeed are you?
As little as possible.
As little as possible. We like that. If you can get away with it, Geraint, it's a good thing.
I work for myself as an engineer. But
right, okay. And has it been, since you've been sort of having extra time on your hands, that you thought, I wouldn't actually mind now putting that dream into becoming a reality and actually getting a book done?
Well, actually, yes, it started in the lockdown.
Right.
That there wasn't a great deal to do. And I just thought, I'm going to take a punt and just write these stories out. So
yes.
I wrote seven of them out.
Right.
I do have more half-written as well, but I wrote seven of them out and made them into a book.
Okay.
I didn't really intend them to go anywhere, but a friend of mine suggested, why don't you try and get it published?
Yeah.
I thought I could try it. So she in fact, put me in touch with an illustrator.
Right, yes.
And that illustrator put me in touch with Candy Jar.
Ah, so that's the sequence. That's
the way
how
it's
it
gone,
went.
Yes.
Excellent,
yeah.
Excellent. And obviously you say that you've got various sort of stories that you've already done, so this presumably, was this more or less the first one that you came up with?
Yes, this is the first seven stories that I've come up with, but I do have others, so
there may
be another book. I don't know, possibly there will be.
Well, we will certainly hope so. Geraint Thomas has joined me from Porthcawl, and we are talking Bidge and Bodge. Geraint, we need to know who these two bears are, so please, let's explore the book. You've kindly brought a copy in for me to have a look at, and they're two decent-sized-looking bears to me.
Yeah, they are. From my daughter's perspective, when she saw the illustration, she said that is exactly how she imagined them when I used to tell her the story.
Ah, there we are.
So, yeah.
So
they were made up in my sort of. There's some local locations. There's a woodland and there's sand dunes all nearby.
Yes.
And they're all sort of based in those areas. And we used to go up there sometimes. Me and my daughter Angharad, we used to go up there and. call out for them and look for them, but, you know.
And they never came, did they?
Never found them.
Never found them. What a shame. So, okay, tell us the gist of the story. I mean, without giving too much away, I've already mentioned there's a cat involved as well, and there are pirates. And personally, I like books with pirates in. So, what's the basic premise of it all?
The book is made of 7 stories,
yes.
One for each day of the week.
Ah, clever.
And they aren't long enough to bore anybody, but they're long enough to send the child to sleep, and
which is a good thing.
That's the point of it.
A good thing too.
Send me to sleep sometimes as well when I was telling them. But these are just characters that I've dreamt up. I'm a bit of a dreamer in that respect. There are other stories I told, and my father used to tell me stories when I was a child and make them up. Didn't read them from a book, and his father was the same. So I think he's gone through that line, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Sounds an interesting thought, yeah. I mean, we're always so, there's always an imprint on us, isn't there, from stories that mums and dads or grandparents told us, and it's lovely then to be able to pass some of those ideas on to your children or grandchildren, whatever it may be. So tell us about some of the other characters in the book, apart from Bidge and Bodge.
Well, there's Mincy the Pussycat, which lives at the bottom of the tree.
Right.
I don't know where I got the name from, it's just something I remember.
Okay.
I probably just made it up on the spot when I was telling her the stories. There are weasels, and they've got a very bad press in the book.
Oh, dear weasels, well, there you are, yes.
There's Eagle, who lives up on a hill, and he jumps off the cliff when Bidge and Bodge sit on his back, and he takes
right.
him on adventures.
Ah.
As you mentioned, the pirates earlier on.
Well, I want to know. I mean, are they Porthcawl pirates?
Yeah, well, they look like Porthcawl pirates a little bit.
There we are. Enough said. Enough said. Everybody likes pirates, don't they? Really. So, I mean, what a great idea to have them in there. So, 7 little stories, all for each day of the week, and as you say, ideal then as sort of little bite-sized stories for getting the little ones off to sleep. So, what sort of age range of children would you say you've pitched the book at?
5 to 10-ish.
Five to ten. There we are.
But Sean at Candy Jar told me originally, I was thinking earlier age than that, and he said, but each story's got, and this isn't to put anybody off, it's slightly scary. There's a little bit of scariness in the middle of the story.
Kids like that, don't
yes,
they?
Yes, yes. So he said, we'll sort of aim it at that age group.
Yes.
10 maybe, getting a little bit old maybe, but that's a sort of group I'm looking at.
Okay. And obviously there's some super illustrations that have been done which accompany the stories in the book.
So some fantastic.
Tell us a little bit about those as well.
Well, I didn't want it to look too Disney.
I
needed to look a little bit dark. Being as Sean had said, the stories have a slight darkness to them.
Yes.
I thought I'd pick the illustrator who had darker looking illustrations and these ones suited exactly what I wanted. I didn't want the Disney look. I wanted
no, understood.
Something a bit different. And they're fantastic illustrations by Patrick Coombs, brilliant.
And where is Patrick from?
I think he's based in Porthcawl, but he does a lot of the illustrations via Candy Jar.
Got you, yeah.
He's one of their illustrators.
All righty. So when did the book actually first see the light of day?
In June.
June,
yeah,
right,
so
okay.
I mean, I've sold about 130.
Excellent, so far. Yeah.
It's due to go on Amazon.
Right.
Proving difficult to get it on there, mm-hmm. but it is available via Candy Jar website. It's on there.
Okay, well, we'll give those details out to people a little bit later on, certainly. But a nice little book, as you say, for the kids, both from the point of view of them reading it themselves, but also, clearly, as we said, great for mums and dads and grandparents and so on who maybe want something that they've got to hand when it's their turn to tell the kids a little bedtime story.
Yeah, maybe send Dad off to sleep as well.
Well, it might, yeah. But as we said, when you can get the kids involved in having a joy and a love of reading from an early age, there is, I don't think, much finer gift than parents or grown-ups, shall we say, can give to children.
Oh, I agree. My daughter remembers them, you know, with clarity.
Yes.
And I'd say she remembers all the characters. It's part of her childhood.
Absolutely, it is.
It's nice for me to have given her that joy. And it'd be nice if I could pass a bit of joy onto other children.
Well, and I have no doubt absolutely that that's what you're going to do. So I've been chatting before the news to Geraint Thomas about his book for children called Bidge and Bodge. Yes, two fun-loving bears who live in the tallest trees in the forest, and they've got all their mates with them. There's Mincy the cat, and he's always getting into trouble, and there are others. There's a fairy, there's a giant, there's a sandman, some nasty pirates, all sorts of things, and lots of it obviously has all come from his imagination and remembering stories that he told his daughter when she was young. Lovely stuff. So, Geraint, let's sort of, as we said, continue on the theme of you know, the storytelling and the idea that, yes, there's lots more good ideas there. Are you actually working at the moment now on a follow-up book?
No, I'm not actually physically really working on one.
Right.
As I said, I have got a few stories which are sort of half-written.
Yes.
But being a bit lax on that, and they probably will start writing a few more in the autumn, I think. But,
right.
I've been enjoying the weather.
Well, why not? Why not? And of course, the other thing is, you want to be able to be there for conversations with people and doing things like this morning, coming and having a chat with me, and things like book signings or going around to different fairs and so on, and spreading the word, really.
Yeah. Well, there is a Candy Jar having an event in the Hayes in August.
Oh, right, yeah, yes.
Yeah, there will be some signings going on, but there are no dates for the signings at this moment.
No, okay. So, would you imagine that you would pitch a second book now very much at the same age group that we've been talking about?
Probably very similar. Like one of the stories, which isn't in this book, is the pond monster. It's just like a sort of monster in a lake which is nearby. So it would probably be exactly this, pretty much the same age group. There are other stories of mine, which my father used to tell me, which are called Joe and Sam.
Right,
I could probably write those down as well. That's been a thought in my mind. Even though I didn't actually tell those stories.
Understood. No. So I was asking you off air, so let me ask you it now on air as well. You're a man who knows his way around the keyboard of a computer?
Pretty much lost the art of writing, to be honest.
That's
with
true.
With a pen and paper.
It's true.
Having
it's true.
To use laptops, computers, all these years.
Yeah.
That's how I wrote these books, was straight onto the laptop.
Excellent. And are you the sort of man who likes to write first thing in the morning, or just any time during the day when the fancy takes you, or do you indeed burn the midnight oil?
These were either me sitting in bed first thing in the morning, or sitting in the chair in the living room,
right,
sort of early evening.
Yes.
Normally.
Yeah.
So it's one of those two, mostly never really in the daytime. And I'm not a nighttime person.
Got you.
I'm normally in bed by 9 hours.
Quite right, too. Quite right. Clean living man, that's what we like to hear. And you were saying that you've had some very good feedback from people who have bought the book and have read them to either their children or grandchildren.
Yeah, I had a phone call from a friend of mine's grandchildren, and they told me how wonderful it was, and that was just a fantastic phone call that I received.
What a lovely thing. And I mean, that must mean so much to you, because fair enough, I mean, we all know, everybody says, they've got a book in them, and clearly everybody, I suppose, in a way, would quite like to end up like James Patterson and be a multi-millionaire from the writing. But the truth of the matter is, very often it is just the sheer pleasure, isn't it, of seeing a book in print, holding it in your hand and saying to people, well, I did this.
Yeah, I'm proud of it, I must say. I can bring some joy to some children. If it does 20 children, I've done some good in the world. And I feel happy that I've done it.
Absolutely. Were you able to test run any of the stories by children before you absolutely decided, yes, that one's going in the book?
I did send them to a few friends of mine, and they looked at them and said, yeah, that looks quite good. And they didn't really change them, to be honest. The way I wrote it originally was slightly different to the way it's written in the book, but that was just sort of because it didn't really suit. I'm not a writer, you know, I'm an engineer.
No.
So, and I mean, so I had a bit of advice from Sean.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Sean is a man at Candy Jar who very, very much knows the business. And yes, it's important, obviously, that you take on board the advice and the comments and so on that come from people who are professionals in the game, as it were. And I'm sure you've probably been delighted with the end result.
It's brilliant because it didn't change the theme and it didn't change the feeling of the book. It just made it a little bit more presentable.
Yes. Yeah.
You've told me I've been a bit too much alliteration.
Much
of that at one point.
It's like having notes from teachers, isn't it? Really, you just got to accept and say yes, right, yes, sir, yeah, yes.
I took that advice, and it was good advice.
No, absolutely. So clearly, as we said, there's the chance that Bidge and Barge might move on to greater things with further stories, or would it be if you were going to do further stories and books, then it would be different characters.
No, it would be the same characters. However, there'd be more characters.
And you'd add
more characters in my mind.
Yeah, understood. You'd add to it.
These developed over time. The first story in this book is kicking up the leaves.
Right.
I mean, I'm Harrod, my daughter. We used to go in those woods and kick up the leaves in the autumn.
Yeah, yeah.
We loved that. And that's sort of how it originated, really. And then the characters developed over time.
Well, and that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, it's so personal, in a sense, to the two of you, really, you and your daughter, because she was involved literally from day one with it all. So, I mean, she must be very proud of what you've done as well.
She's chuffed, yeah, she is.
That is published by Candy Jar and Jelly Bean Publishing in Cardiff. And what we do need just to do are a few of the mechanics and find out where can you get it from, when can you get it, all that sort of stuff. So, Geraint, you've told us it's been a bit of a struggle to get it on Amazon, but fingers crossed that will happen eventually.
Yeah, it's due to come out. I'll get it on there as soon as I can, but as I say, it's quite a difficult process.
Life is difficult with Amazon sometimes, even though everybody's buying stuff, they're very, very busy. So if people go to the Candy Jar website, though, there will be information there.
There will be. You look at the drop-down menu and in Jelly Bean.
Yes.
Find Bidge and Bodge, I think, is the second or third book.
Excellent. So all the information that people want, and they can obviously order it there, they can pay for it online, and then the book can just be sent to them.
Yeah.
Can't fall back, can you, really? So, hopefully it will go from strength to strength. We clearly wish you very, very, very best of luck with it, because there's lots of kids' books out there. I think everybody knows that. But, you know, this one does look as though it might strike a chord.
Well, thank you very much. I hope it does.
Well, there we are. Fingers crossed. Thank you so much for coming in today and, as I say, having a chat about it, telling people a little bit about the story of the two bears, Bidge and Bodge, and all their chums, and all the scrapes that they get up to, all the adventures. As we said, probably about sort of 5 to 9, 10 years of age, age. And a great little book to have for reading to the kids when you're trying to get them to go off to sleep. And there's 7 little stories, as you've said. Which is your particular favourite in the book?
My favourite is actually, and 2 people have told me this is their favourite as well, and this is the story that I sent off originally.
Right.
Which is The Sandman.
Okay.
Yeah, there's something, I don't know, yeah, that's my favourite story.
Fair enough. And is there a little bit of scaredness in that somehow?
There's a little bit. They're walking across the sand dunes, going up and down the dunes, and it's a real hard trudge as it is, walking on sand. And they notice the sand all blowing up into a spiral, and it ends up as a really scary looking sandman. However, when they actually get to speak to, they start running away, and he says to them, please don't run away, and he tells them his story, and then they realise he wasn't scary at all. So he's
your favourite.
Yeah, I would say that's my
interesting. Well, there we are. So, thank you so much, as I say, for coming in this morning, and we wish you all the best with Bidge and Bodge, and fingers crossed, we will see you again sometime in the future for a follow-up volume of more stories, old and new, and fingers crossed, as we said, it'll do everything that you want it to.
Thank you very much, Gary.